Hi, everyone, and welcome to Truth Over News. This past week has seen the resurgence of a dangerous narrative, one that should not be simply dismissed out of hand, a narrative so demonstrably false that it was widely ridiculed by virtually everyone on the right. Of course, we're talking about President Trump's bloodbath remarks that have been taken wildly out of context by virtually every talking head on the left. But make no mistake, the narrative that's being put forth is not only dangerous, it's a continuation of a narrative that began the very day that Trump announced he would run again for office. The Trump bloodbath narrative is more than an opportunistic move by the left. It's the next chapter in the left's Trump as Hitler narrative. It's an attempt to normalize violence in the coming months. It's an attempt to justify the riots and uprisings that have been planned if Trump wins. It's a narrative that, at its core, is part of an ongoing effort by the agency establishment to designate Trump as a national security threat. Before we go any further, let's take a quick look at what Trump really said and why he said it. By way of background, in December of last year, the Financial Times warned of China's plans for electrical vehicle production in Mexico, noting that Washington has raised concerns with Mexico over an imminent wave of Chinese investment into the country, as three of China's largest electrical vehicle makers prepare to build factories south of the U.S. border. The concerns were twofold: China's stranglehold on the EV battery market, and the very real possibility of China gaining a backdoor to the U.S. market through Mexico. While drawing attention to the issue, which included a warning to China, Trump said that if he did not win the election, the American auto industry would end up with a bloodbath of closed plants and lost jobs. He also invited China to build EV plants on U.S. soil if they would employ U.S. workers.
If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. If they want to build a plant in Michigan, in Ohio, in South Carolina, they can, using American workers.
The word bloodbath was just what the media was waiting for, and boy, did they run with it. Stories claiming that Trump said there would be a bloodbath if he wasn't elected were literally everywhere, run by every single establishment media outlet, all done in disturbing lockstep fashion, state-run media at its worst. The Biden-Harris campaign was quick to issue a statement, claiming that Trump was doubling down on threats of political violence. David Frum, senior editor of The Atlantic, claimed that in the past 12 months, Trump has threatened violence in one form or another at least five times. He's threatened death and destruction if he's not elected. Trump's bloodbath threat was the sixth incident for a call to violence. There's a pattern here. The ongoing lies by the media spread like wildfire. Joe Biden joined the frenzy, sending a disturbing and wildly misleading new campaign video of carefully edited clips from his personal X account. The ad even included an overt attempt to reignite the Very Fine People hoax.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath, and it's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
Jews will not replace us!
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
Are you willing to condemn white supremacists and militia groups from
Proud
militia?
Boys, stand back and stand by.
Please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages.
There'd be a lot of pardons and commutations of January 6th defendants.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell your supporters now, no matter what, no violence.
And it's going to be a bloodbath.
Many have been tempted to dismiss this whole effort as just another media narrative, but in our opinion, this is both misguided and dangerously short-sighted. As we noted at the open, the Trump bloodbath narrative is more than an opportunistic move by the left. It's the next step in the left's demonization of Trump. It's an attempt to both motivate and normalize violence in the coming months. It's an attempt to justify riots and uprisings as a rightful response to a Trump presidency. It's another escalation in the ongoing efforts by the agency establishment to do anything under their power by any means necessary to prevent a return of Trump or at a minimum handcuff his presidency. They're telling you they'll stop at nothing. In our opinion, everyone should believe them. This is more than an opportunistic attack on Trump. It's an ongoing evolution of their pre-existing plans for Trump. They wargamed the 2020 election. They're doing the same thing now. We were being serious when we said this was a larger part of an ongoing effort by the agency establishment to designate Trump as a national security threat. As part of this ongoing effort, we've been repeatedly struck by two recurring themes. The participation from former DOJ and other agency officials, coupled with repeated and ongoing mischaracterizations of Jan 6. Elizabeth De La Vega, a federal prosecutor for 21 years, typified what we'd been seeing, writing that, "You know this absurd narrative about Trump and the bloodbath. This isn't hard. He said that if he doesn't get elected, there'll be a bloodbath. There was a bloodbath at his urging the last time he wasn't elected. So we all know what he meant. Being fair doesn't mean we have to be stupid." A telling tweet. But even more alarming was a post from former DOJ and Homeland Security official and current CNN national security analyst, Juliet Kayyem, who wrote that, "It is good Biden is talking about the threat to our democracy coming from the violence Trump promises. We have a whole department created to address terrorism, and it would be nice to hear a plan about protecting our homeland security. The DOJ is not built for this." Kayyem wrote that the White House cannot talk of a real threat and then sit back and hope the voters solve the problem. Her solution was draconian. A very transparent planning process that engages local and state governments who manage elections. This plan would provide transparency on threats, a crisis response capacity, recommended rules of deployment for public safety resources, a civilian strike team that can address violence in real time and provide information to the public and media, etc. Kayyem continued, claiming that states and localities cannot handle this on their own. We and DHS plan now, so there are no surprises later. Trump is telling us what he will do. He's giving us a terror manifesto. This might all seem insane if Kayyem hadn't been Obama's Assistant Secretary for Intergovernmental Affairs at the Department of Homeland Security and part of DHS's Security Advisory Committee. We've noted several times that the Trump bloodbath narrative is more than just an opportunistic move by the left, but we feel that it's an important point to drive home. It's the next chapter in the left's attack on Trump. Back in November 23, as it became clear that Trump was a presumptive nominee, we saw the first real glimpses of the left's new plans. Neocon swamp monster and Brookings senior fellow Robert Kagan, the husband of Biden's recently departed Deputy Secretary of State Victoria Nuland, wrote an editorial titled, "A Trump Dictatorship is Increasingly Inevitable. We Should Stop Pretending." Kagan laid out his thesis right at the outset, stating, "Let's stop the wishful thinking and face the stark reality. There is a clear path to dictatorship in the United States, and it is getting shorter every day." Kagan rightly questioned if the myriad indictments of Trump would actually doom him politically, noting that such hopeful speculation has allowed us to drift along passively, conducting business as usual, taking no dramatic action to change course, in the hope and expectation that something would happen. But Kagan's editorial had a darker purpose in mind. Kagan was intentionally stoking establishment fears when he wrote that Trump will have spent the previous year and more fighting to stay out of jail, plagued by myriad persecutors, and helpless to do what he likes to do best, exact revenge. Think of the fury that will have built up inside him, a fury that, from his point of view, he has worked hard to contain. His administration will be filled with people with enemies lists of their own, a determined cadre of vetted officials who will see it as their sole presidentially authorized mission to root out those in the government who cannot be trusted. Many will simply be fired, but others will be subject to career-destroying investigations. As Molly Hemingway noted at the time, this extreme and dangerous genre of claiming Trump as Hitler because they say he might do what Democrats are doing right now should probably be given the name Assassination Prep. Kagan's editorial laid the groundwork for an NBC News article that followed 6 weeks later. Fears grow that Trump will use the military in dictatorial ways if he returns to the White House. The article's real point was to raise those fears of a Trump dictatorship in order to justify a no-holds-barred response to Trump's candidacy or his new presidency, just as they did in 2016 and in 2020. Only this time, it's all but certain to be even worse. The article claimed that Trump has raised fresh questions about his intentions if he regains power by putting forward a legal theory that a president would be free to do nearly anything with impunity. This was in relation to the infamous, could a president order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival question? Never mind that it was the judge and not the Trump team who raised the outlandish premise. But NBC, who wasn't concerned with facts, quickly pivoted to the real purpose of their article, what we would describe as a deep state call to arms. As NBC wrote, bracing for Trump's potential return, a loose-knit network of public interest groups and lawmakers are quietly devising plans to try to foil any efforts to expand presidential power. The apparent leader of this plan appears to be Mary McCord, the executive director of the Institution for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection at Georgetown Law. For those unfamiliar, McCord was the acting head of the DOJ's National Security Division from 2016 to 2017, and she was involved in the FBI's early FISA surveillance of Trump advisor Carter Page, along with the DOJ's attack on General Flynn. McCord was later appointed as amicus curiae to the FISA court in 2021, despite her help in misleading the FISA court during the Carter Page FISA approvals. McCord was also appointed by Nancy Pelosi as lead counsel to the Jan 6 Capital Security Review Task Force and has written articles pushing the Jan 6 narrative. Now, McCord's once again helping to direct the efforts against Trump. As McCord told NBC, "We're already starting to put together a team to think through the most damaging types of things that Trump might do so that we're ready to bring lawsuits if we have to." And she's far from alone. A number of current and former officials are now claiming Trump will attempt to use military force. Leon Panetta, who served as Obama's CIA director and then as his Secretary of Defense, told NBC that, like any good dictator, Trump's going to try to use the military to basically perform his will. These claims are made partly as an excuse to further the narrative that Trump must be stopped to save democracy, but there's another reason as well. One of the primary thrusts of the NBC article is that Trump will use military force against his political opponents and political protests, claiming there may be nothing stopping a president from mobilizing the military to intervene in elections, police American streets, or quash domestic protests. There's a reason that NBC was raising these fears. As Mike Benz notes, they're planning mass destabilizing riots of such a scale that only the National Guard can contain them, and they're pre-planning a way to block Trump from activating the National Guard. We think Mike's thesis is 100% correct. Everything has been designed to either keep Trump from getting back into the White House or hamstringing his administration from operating effectively if he does win the election. But notice what else is transpiring as well. With each new narrative, the left is slowly ratcheting up the attacks on Trump, as well as their quote-unquote solutions. Each new round takes things to a new, even more exaggerated level. This is why we remain concerned that the activities of the left are not being viewed with the proper level of seriousness. Don't fall for the trap of viewing events in isolation, as a one-off media narrative. Look at them in sequence and see how they fit into a larger puzzle to understand what's going on. As we said at the beginning, we think the ultimate goal is to label Trump as a national security threat and then act accordingly. Thanks for joining us on today's episode of Truth Over News.